And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean to say, this show goes from like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border to what we now call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all of y'all. We got a ton of you right now watching out there in the whole wide world on the World Wide Web, going to rightsidemedia.org or to Rumble or to Facebook or to X or to YouTube. Anyway, we appreciate you. And then all you podcasters, by the way, thank you too. What I'm trying to say is we love this audience. You're the reason why we do what we do. The text message. You getting comments over there on YouTube too? Chime in if you got anything.
We got a couple. First we got John from Huntsville just saying happy Meatloaf Monday. Listening in from Lynchburg, Tennessee today. Oh. And we got Bruce on X says, awesome, Brother Phil, straight to the point, awesome monologue.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, John. David at Bucky's checking in says, Phil, Democrats are screaming that President Trump didn't see congressional... I think your voice texting to me, brother. Congressional Perrier is what your text says. I think you meant congressional approval. Democrat leadership prior to initiating the mission. He said, I don't remember President Obama seeking approval or briefing Republicans for taking bin Laden out. Perfect point. You were on it, man. And that's exactly right. Mark from Tony, Alabama says, I just turned on my radio. I might be off topic, but now that Trump took care of Iran's nuclear power plant, can we check the... The LCA top and the uranium and know that, that kill. It's okay. All right. I'm not sure. I see what he's saying. The isotope. Something in spell check was not helping you, brother. But Mark from Tony, what he's talking about there, I'm going to get to in just a minute. There are some serious beliefs that Hillary Clinton made a drug deal, basically, when she was Secretary of State, that approved the sale of a company called Uranium One. Uranium One was sold to the Russians. The Russians then may or may not have taken possession of some uranium that was mined for the U.S., and then the yellow cake that comes as a matter of enriching it disappeared, and that may have been what helped get Iran off and running. Thank you, Hillary. By the way, soon thereafter, massive Russian donations to the Clinton Foundation. Funny how that works out. Ken from Harvest says, you may not remember the 1980 song by Vince Vance, Bomb Iran. It's worth a listen. Very appropriate. I do recall it. Spinoff from what was done by the Beach Boys. Jason in Oak Ridge says, complacency kills, and you are correct, sir. By the way, T-shirt on the way there, Jason. Bruce from Springville said, I have a question. Is the Iranian government run by a bunch of AOCs? I don't know. They, at the very least, they may be run by a bunch of Ilhan Omars. I'm not sure. Jack from Huntsville says, when the talk first came out of hitting these nuclear sites with two bunker busters, I thought, man, hit them with six. And then we saw Trump's actual attack. Reminds me of my favorite quote from Hannibal Smith, overkill is underrated. Yes. By the way, the way they did it, too, I mean, I guess we can just go ahead and kind of interject as we go. If you recall, I think it was Thursday or Friday, there were reports that were out saying that there were B-2 stealth bombers. See, all the B-2s are stationed in Missouri, I believe, and that a flight of B-2s was headed to Guam. That'd be west, flying west to Guam. That was a feint. What we now know is the Guam flight was designed to distract, whereas the rest of the seven that flew the actual mission went east. Did in-flight refueling, I think three times total in the mission, twice on the way there, once on the way back, if I'm not mistaken, 37-hour round trip. That's a lot of time in the cockpit, man. And by the way, somebody told me there's no toilet in a B-2. How does that happen? Surely to goodness.
Yeah, no, certainly that's not the case.
I think that's worthy of looking up. Is there a toilet in the B-2? I mean, what do they do? I mean, never mind. I don't want to know.
If you know what's funny is people definitely looked this up because I typed in, is there a toy, T-O-I, and the top thing is there a toilet on the B-2?
Is there?
Let's see. Yes, the B-2 does have a toilet on board.
Okay. See?
It has a toilet, a bed, and a microwave. So.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a camper. It's a batwing camper flying over. Okay.
I mean, I would hope so. If 37 you're going to fly 37 hours on it.
I mean, you can, yeah. Okay. Okay. Did you get your catheter before the trip? Yeah. Great. Let's go. Don't eat anything. Here we are. Alif Mathin says, Colonel, I'll take some scrambled scunion with a side of home fries all day long. Nice. Cameron from Decatur says, I guess if they keep calling us the great Satan, they're going to find out what's like to have hell rain down on them. Well, I think they did. And listen, I'm not gloating over this. I mean, so let's make sure you understand my tone. Successful mission. Everybody came home safe. I'm glad it's over with. Praise God. At the same time, I hope we don't have to repeat it. I hope this is it. I hope we're done. I hope this is a one and done and that Iran says, holy crap, I guess we're going to the table now. You know what I really hope too? I hope that the people of Iran decide that the Ayatollahs are not worth having. I hope that they will overthrow their own governance and set up something newer and better. I hope that they'll go back to the moderate position that used to make them our allies before the Iranian Revolution in 1979 that put the Ayatollahs in place. And don't ever forget, within just a few months of the Ayatollah being, you know, flown in from his exile and setting up the caliphate and taking control of the government and kicking out the Shah, don't ever forget that radicals stormed the U.S. embassy and took 52 Americans hostage for 444 days. Let me dissect that for a minute. Radicals, within months of the new government who could have stopped it, the new government who could have said, don't do it, the new government who could have said, stop what you're doing right now and let them go, just wink and a nod. Oh, we're just so pleased with you activists, you youth among us, doing what you are doing for the great Ayatollah. Well, they didn't just, like, capture some tourists on the street. They stormed the U.S. embassy, which under international law is considered to be sovereign territory of the nation whose flag flies over it. Every embassy is considered to be sovereign territory. If you attack the embassy, it's as if you were attacking the ground of the country that the embassy represents. And they didn't care. So they attacked the U.S. embassy in 1979 within months of the Ayatollah taking power and took 52 Americans hostage. And they paraded them around, blindfolded, mistreated them, kept them for 444 days. It didn't matter what Jimmy Carter said or did. They knew Jimmy Carter was too weak. He wasn't going to do a thing. It wasn't until the campaign season they began to realize this guy, Ronald Reagan, might actually go the distance. And he did. Ronald Reagan won the election, and within days, they were freed. That's the way Iran has played cat and mouse for 45 years. So am I glad they don't have a nuke capability right now? Well, as far as I know, we don't. I mean, we don't have the full BDA on this, the bomb damage assessment. That's still to come. There's going to be some indications that there are facilities left there. Whether they're operational, we don't know. What we also know, though, is they are fully exposed. They are right now apparently unable to stop any attack. We're actually seeing Israeli jets refueling over Iranian airspace. I mean, that's a low, slow, and dangerous position to be in. If you don't have control of the air, you can't air refuel, because that's just like saying I'm walking slow through a minefield. But no, we've got absolute control of the air right now. We didn't even have a radar paint our targets, our planes as targets in this raid. Clear indication that they have been basically just, their air defenses have been denigrated to the point that they are no longer in existence. The SA-300 and SA-400 systems that they got from Russia are just done. And then the vast majority of their missile launchers are done. Not all of them, obviously, because they launched some today, which I'll talk about more in a minute. But I'm just telling you, what we saw this past weekend was a clear indication of what's known as air dominance, and a clear indication that the United States can bring the scunion whenever it needs to. But again, my hope is one and done, we're through with it. John from Harvest checking in. He says, Phil, good monologue. Kind of a show news weekend, right? Yeah. a slow news weekend, he says, I support President Trump's decision to strike nuclear sites because Iran having nukes is a bad option, since I fully expect they would use them if they had them. Major concerns now are what Medvedev said in that other countries will be willing to give Iran a nuke. Also, there's a very real chance we'll find out how many sleeper terrorist cells the previous administration led into the country. We all need to stay situationally aware. All right, well, you just hit my top two dippers. So, yeah, one of the things, we'll talk about the head on a swivel, you know, what we should be watching for both here and abroad. But also know this, that the Russian president, not Putin, but Medvedev, who's his lackey, who's always making just off-the-cuff kind of like randomly bad statements, said perhaps other countries should give them a nuke. They're not going to do it, first of all. They're not. What an asinine statement to make. Nobody believes for a second that Russia's going to go, you know what would be a good idea? How about we give the Iranians a nuke? Because, you know, they've got no air defenses and we can't stop anything from happening, but why don't we just fly one in and drop it off and say, here, fellas, good luck with this. Do you know how to work it? How would you deliver it? Oh, this is wonderful. No one's going to do that. North Korea is the craziest option. Possibilities exist for North Korea to go, we shall give it to you so the great Satan shall be. But they're probably not, because they only have a limited number themselves and they're going to hoard them because they believe that's what keeps the world at bay. So I don't think anybody's going to wind up giving it. And that was a pretty asinine statement. That was some jackassery right there from Medvedev. I don't put any stock in it. I won't ignore it because it's there. But the reality is Medvedev making that statement was almost like, you know, political immaturity on his part. Nonetheless, he just raised the stakes a little bit. So now we have to watch him, see what he's doing, and make sure they don't get crazy. But I don't think they are. Last couple, then I'll take a break. John from Huntsville, Phil, amazing monologue. Also, JP, did you see the Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the Indiana Pacers last night to win their first NBA championship? He said, by the way, I'm in Lynchburg, Tennessee right now. A lot of Jack Daniels stuff around here.
No, I did not watch it. I didn't watch much sports at all this weekend. Very inundated with politics this weekend. So, no, I didn't watch any sports really. Yeah, and some golf, yeah. A brief time out from it, yeah.
Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, you can't fix crazy, but you can make it disappear with the right ordinance. He says, I just hope there's enough virgins to go around. He says, yeah, no doubt. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. I'll save some of these text messages for after the break. When we get back, I'm going to start diving on into Iran. Know the why. Don't just talk about what you saw this weekend. Understand the background for it, because that's where you get into the decision-making process. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so Dave from Capshaw just sent us, he sent us a picture of the toilet inside of a B2.
I saw that, yeah, and the bunk beds and all, yeah.
Is that real? Let me see the bunk. Well, that's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming, Dave, I trust you. I will go ahead and say, Dave must have sent the real deal. Little plaid pillowcases on the pillow. That's nice. Listen, it's the Cadillac of the sky. I would expect no less.
The Cadillac of the sky. Is that actually what it's called, the nickname?
It is now.
Okay. Cool.
Was there another one on there? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see that. I saw the meme about the Ayatollah talking to Trump on the phone. Barry Mathis says, Iran has been the head of the snake in the Middle East ever since the fall of the Shah. All the groups such as Hamas, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood are just parts of the snake's body. Cut the snake's head off the body. Cut the snake's head off. The body usually dies shortly thereafter. It's way past time to cut off the head. Yeah, but you know what, though? Here's the thing. Like Trump has made it clear we're not looking for us to be in charge of regime change. But he pointed out, you know, if you can't, how did he word it over the weekend? If the Iranian people can't find someone to make Iran great again, then what's up?
Well, I don't know. I took issue with that truth because he insinuated in a way like we're going to make Iran great again. So we don't need to be doing anything with Iran's regime. But yeah, I don't know.
He actually was talking about the people doing it, though. And he's even followed up, and Rubio did too, if I'm not mistaken, and said clearly this is, but the same way that the people of Iran put the Ayatollah in power, they can take him out of power. This is a fragile regime, by the way, never been more fragile. and it's only 45 years old. In the eyes of the world, this is a blip. All right, this is like a little pinprick on the map of history. This thing that's called the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's a failed experiment. Its people have suffered under their rule. I mean, we're talking about women being beaten in the street because their hijab is not worn correctly. We're talking about people disappearing in the night. Right now, what we're also hearing from insiders is that Iran is trying to preserve its strength internally, and so they're doing mass arrests, and people are disappearing who they believe might be a threat to the Ayatollahs. So, you know, but at some point, history always dictates that a people can only be pushed so far. I'm curious to see how this is going to go. Joanna from Hartsel says, when I first heard what President Trump did this weekend, my first thought was, I can't wait to see what Phil has to say about this on Monday. Well, thank you, Joanna. I appreciate that. Said, it's so nice to have someone in the media you can believe and trust. Thank you, Phil and JP, for all you do. Joanna, thank you very much. Y'all make it worthwhile. Last couple, then I'll jump into some materials here. I say I will. It's about almost time for the top of the hour. Adam from Athens says, I definitely don't want any new wars, but the strike needed to be done to protect the world's population. JP, I met Clark Lee this weekend. He was joking about beating Bama and let me know it wasn't a fluke. He said it's going to be happening again in their house this year.
Sure.
That was a complete change. I was halfway through that sentence and I didn't even know where we were going.
We'll see.
Clark Lee?
Vanderbilt's head coach.
Ah, okay. Last one, new texter. Who we got here? Steve from Sail Creek, Tennessee. Steve from Sail Creek, Tennessee says, Sawyer Green, Charlton Heston, Friday's movie. Oh, he must be listening to the podcast from Friday or something. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Good enough. Hey, listen, we're going to come back and I'm going to dive into this topic. I got to tell you, I got a piece here from Daily Caller. Scott Jennings may be one of my new heroes in the world of punditry. Scott Jennings, never one afraid to say what needs to be said, no matter who's sitting in front of him when he says it. Scott Jennings actually works for CNN, but he's an avowed conservative. Just got back from Israel, by the way. He was live tweeting from Israel during some of the bombings and things that were happening, going down to the shelters. But he was sitting there with someone named, if I can say it right, Xochitl Hinojosa. Xochitl Hinojosa, a former Democratic National Committee spokesperson. There, you can already tell where this is going. But Hinojosa claimed that President Donald Trump failed to prove that Iran posed a real true threat to the U.S. and thus should have received approval from Congress before bombing three nuclear sites. And went on to say, and I'm assuming, is Xochitl Hinojosa a guy or a girl? Do you know, by any chance?
I've never heard of him. Or her. I don't know.
Okay, so it said, Congress must see the underlying intelligence about how, if there were a direct threat and whether the U.S. needed to respond, but as of right now, I have not seen that, said Hinojosa. And then Scott Jennings chimed in, and he said, you're arguing that after 46 years of the Iranian regime killing Americans, threatening Americans, saying over and over again, death to America, that maybe they just didn't mean it? He said that they were just like fiery but mostly peaceful Iranian butchers? Like, I don't understand, but this is like a righteous strike, he said. By the way, I mentioned a minute ago, and I've got an article that I'll dive into here in a minute, that in 2023, the Ayatollah said that the slogan, or the saying, death to Iran, is not a slogan. It's a policy of their government. There's also footage from 2018 with members of the Iranian parliament chanting it on the floor of their parliament. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Where did hour number one even go? That just flew by. But hour number two here on a Meatloaf Monday. And it's a Meatloaf Monday with a lot of news, but all the news is heading in the same direction right now. Forgive me, but I feel like we have a lot more to dive into, and I'm about to jump into it, but I got to give you this breaking news. So in case you haven't heard, right before the show, Iran did lash out in response to the fact that it was bombed by U.S. troops or by U.S. forces Saturday. Iran lashed out by launching missiles at our air base in Qatar. So if you look at the map, Qatar's directly across the waters from Iran. So what we know right now is, because President Trump just issued a statement on it, is that this was a attack of, by 14 missiles. Here, I'll just read it to you. Iran, this is Donald J. Trump, is Truth Social. Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected, he said, and have very effectively countered. There have been 14 missiles fired. 13 were knocked down. One was set free because it was headed off in a non-threatening direction. He said, I am pleased to report that no Americans were harmed, hardly any damage done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system, and there will hopefully be no further hate. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region, and I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Cracks me up. He always says, thank you for your attention to this matter. But there's the thing. By the way, when we took out Soleimani during the first Trump administration, Iran did the same thing. They had to launch something. They had to show the world they could, you know, they had to basically spit back, if you will. But they called ahead and said, hey, by the way, just so you know, we're about to like launch some missiles, just making you aware. They did the same thing here. They apparently notified the government of Qatar, and they notified the United States. Okay, I'm glad. But yeah, 14 missiles. Now, we fired 24 Tomahawks and we used 125 planes, multiple naval vessels to include submarines, and launched 24 Tomahawk missiles and 14 bunker buster bombs. And we did so with precision and devastation. They launched 14 missiles, 13 were knocked down. One of them was allowed to just fly on by because it was way off target. That's amazing. That's not only a feckless response. All that is, that's a notional response. That's a, what they'll tell people in Iran, what they'll tell the people on the street through their state-approved, state-run media, is they'll tell them, we lashed out at the American infidel. We struck back with a mighty blow using the hammer of our great army. And it's just, it's going to be, anyway, the rest of the world knows, wow, that was a nothing burger. Just so you know, right before the show started too, breaking news on Fox was that gas prices are $7 a barrel lower in price today than they were before. Meaning what? Meaning that the region is not upset. That's a serious indicator. If oil prices didn't spike because of this, it's a serious indicator that there are no concerns about the Straits of Hormuz. There are no concerns about the ability of the oil fields to be spared from attack. There's no real worry about the import-export capabilities of the oil-producing nations in the Middle East. Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. This first dipper I've got, I call it Know the Why. All right? Know the why. Why? Don't just look at this past weekend and take it at face value. Don't. You can try that, but if you do, you lose the entire context. It's like somebody having a punchline, but you're not sure what the joke was. You got to know the context in which all of this is happening. And I want to encourage you to dive deep on some of this. Now, let me pull up another article I've got here in my stack. I'll just go ahead and grab it real quick. Here it is. I pulled this off a website called memory.org. That's M-E-M-R-I. And that is, help me out, JP. You said it was Middle East Media something. You looking it up again? And basically, it's an aggregator of Middle Eastern news.
Middle East Media Research Institute.
Thank you very much. I had the article early this morning that dawned on me. I'm not sure what this site is. I wanted to make sure that I knew whether it was Iranian-based or if it was just about Iran. This is a website that specializes in taking news of the Middle East, aggregating it, and translating it into English. So it's not like somebody made it up about them. It's their news translated into English so we can read it. So Memory has this piece that came out November 1st, 2023. We're talking just, what, a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half. November 1st, 2023, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, said that death to America is not just a slogan, it's a policy. His quote was this, and I almost don't want to read it because I feel like it gives credibility to him, but it says this, the situation between America and Iran is this, when you chant death to America is not just a slogan, it's a policy. This is him saying, I have stated the reasons previously. From the many years in the 1940s to the 70s, that is 30 years, he said, the Americans did everything they could against the Iranian nation, which is crap, by the way. They hit Iran any way they could, which is also crap, by the way. They were one of our great trading partners. They were a military ally. They were somebody we relied on in the Middle East. In fact, when we turned our attention to the Cold War, we had Iran helping us with stability in the Middle East. There was corruption among the Shahs. The people got tired of it, but it was also fomented by radicalism. It wasn't like this was a this was not a despot, but there were also difficulties, and they did not fare well, and the Iranian leadership was overthrown. 1979, me talking now. But he also goes on to say, if it were not for America's support, if it were not for the support of the U.S. weapons, the corrupt and artificial Zionist regime would have been destroyed in the first week. It would have collapsed. The Americans are behind this. Okay. That's the kind of rhetoric the people have lived under now. But that's also the kind of rhetoric that the world has had to take note of. When the guy who is in charge of pursuing the nuclear weapons says it is not just a slogan, it is our policy of death to America, well, then capstone that with the fact that in 2018, footage has resurfaced showing Iranian parliament members chanting the slogan Death to America on the floor of their parliament in protest to Trump's decision to pull out of the international nuclear deal. That would be, by the way, that would be the failed nuclear deal that Obama sent pallets of cash over for. I'll talk about more of that in a minute. All right, so understand the why. The why is more than just what happened this weekend. The why is more than just since Trump took office. The why goes bigger than that. Now, I will also tell you this. They've been killing Americans. I said it in my monologue earlier. Aside from the hostages that were taken in 1979, then you have, oh, by the way, just 4 years later, the Beirut barracks bombing, which, oh, by the way, Iran was behind. 241 Marines killed. Then you have, just a few years later, you have the USS Cole being bombed. 17 sailors killed, 40 more wounded. Iran is in all of this, but then you also have, during the war in Iraq, and by the way, I was there, and I know for a fact there was Iranian influence. There was Iranian influence when I was in Afghanistan. The Iranians were all over Herat and the western regions of Afghanistan, but we had some really spooky stuff happening in my region because I lived among the Afghan people up in the northern section at a place called Kunduz, and we had Iranian planes landing during the night sometimes, and we know it. But the truth be told, in Iraq, especially through the use of those those EFP IEDs, the explosive force projectiles, like a cannon buried in the dirt that would blow through an armored vehicle. That was an Iranian invention that was then trained for the militias. When we fought in 2004, when I was there with the Mahdi militia, the Shia uprising centered in Sadr City, which is a section of Baghdad, but all over the area, but really hunkered down in Sadr City. When we dealt with it, we dealt with EFPs that were from Iran. We also dealt with, when we couldn't catch Muqtada al-Sadr, the leader of the Mahdi militia, guess where he was? He was in Iran. We now, right now, have official records that say 603 U.S. service members died because of Iranian influence in Iraq. 603. The actual numbers are believed to exceed 1,000. Just this morning, I listened to General Jack Keane giving some commentary on Fox, and he said that Lloyd Austin, who he's known, you know, former Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, he's known Lloyd Austin for many years. He said he and Lloyd Austin were talking one day, and he said, "What's the number?" And he said, "I believe it's actually in excess of 2,000. In excess of 2,000 American troops who died at the hands of Iranian influence. That's approaching the levels of 9/11 at that point. So what we're looking at here is know the why. The why is this is a country that says, by their own words, death to America is their policy, not just a slogan. This is a country that has been killing, maiming, and capturing U.S. interests for over 40 years. That's what they do. But then let's talk about, after the break, the spiritual aspect here, because this is what makes it an unhinged moment. This is what makes it harder to pin down. This is why they are so hard to predict. because there's an entirely different context here. These are not rational people. I'll explain it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Text it in. Text it in. Give me your feedback on where we're headed right now. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for, well, now you can't call it. We're going to get that figured out. I'm beyond it. There's a phone company that is about to have to answer to Lawyer Phil if they don't straighten things out here pretty quick. But nonetheless, you can text it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So I said during my monologue, if you didn't catch it, I encourage you to check it out because there are a number of things that are factors in the why. When it comes to Iran, it's like you're having those water cooler conversations, right? You're at work and someone says, man, see the news? Yeah, but what do you think about that? Well, I don't know. I don't like it. I mean, do we really need to be doing that kind of thing? Well, okay. Do you know the why? Because a whole lot more to the why than just what's in the headlines this past week. There's a whole lot more to the why than just Israel and Iran started bombing each other just like in the past 10 days. There's a whole lot more to the why. I mentioned a moment ago about the official policy, stated policy of the leadership of Iran is death to America. They say it's not a slogan. They say it's their policy. Quote from their Ayatollah, supreme leader. I told you a moment ago that what we're watching is history. Look at the history. From the time they were founded as a nation, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been anti-American, and not just anti-American, because I could care less if somebody doesn't like us. But when they start acting on it, it's a problem. We're talking about 52 Americans taken hostage inside of our own embassy within months of the Ayatollah taking power. We're talking about U.S. service members being killed. But then there's also this. This is the piece that's going to make you a genius when you're having conversations around the table at lunch with your friends. This is the one they're going to look at you and go, where'd you hear that from? And you say, well, you know, I just study up on this kind of stuff. I'm giving it to you. You ready? Here we go. I got a piece here that I pulled off premierchristianity.com. It's just one source. You can find the same thing. I pulled this because it was only published in the last few days. But it's something that I was already aware of, and I went out and tried to find the best source I could. Few Westerners really understand the theology that drives the leadership of the radical government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. They are a faction of Shiite Islam. Now, in the world of Islam, Shias and Sunnis are the two greatest factions, kind of like Catholics and Protestants, I guess, if you will. I mean, they're not the same, but you know what I mean. There's a different versions of Islam. They base theirs around, you know, who has the right to rule in the Islamic faith. And I won't try to oversimplify it too much. Just suffice to say they have some originalist differences as to what constitutes the leadership of their faith. Shia Islam is the minority on the world stage. Saudi Arabia is a largely Sunni Islam. Iraq is mostly Sunni. Shias are there, but then the Shia hub, if you will, has been Iran. And a faction of the Shia sect of Islam has been the leadership of Iran. And they are a group that can be referred to as the Twelvers. They are a group that believes that there is a holy figure called the 12th Imam who will reappear to bring peace to the world. Okay, sounds great, right? However, they also believe that it is their job to usher in a time of great catastrophe, a time of great destruction. They believe that it is their job to foment the terror that they are doing, not just so that they can be powerful on the world stage, but they're also doing it because they believe that's what brings their Mahdi, they call him, the Mahdi back. The 12th Imam will reappear to reestablish order once they have created the disorder that ushers him back in. In essence, what they're saying is the actions of man drive God. It's bigger than like prayers. They believe that they will actually set the stage and usher him in if they can just make that much more chaos. They're only 10 to 15% of the Muslim world overall, Shias. But the Twelvers, There are a strong sect in the leadership of Iran. The former president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, was an absolute 12er. Iran's present-day nuclear doctrines, say the article I've got here in my hand, they meet Iran's ancient theological doctrines. If they can have radical scholars teaching that apocalyptic war is a necessary requirement for the Mahdi to be revealed, then it justifies their need for the nuclear weapons. Iran's struggle is this part of the divine plan, they say. I mean, think about the Cold War with Soviet Union. We had this thing called mutually assured destruction. Both sides had detente. They would stare at each other. And it'd be like a staring session. Who's going to blink first? But neither one of us really want to pull the trigger because we know what it means. At the same time, the Iranian leadership, the 12ers, they know what it means. And they know what it means and they want it. And they want it for that very purpose. They want it for the destruction that it causes. They want it for the mutually assured destruction because they believe that it will usher in the day of the Mahdi. And these Iranian apocalyptic clerics, man, they got some powerful incentive now to pull this nuclear trigger because it's a fulfillment of ancient prophecy for them. And you look at it and go, do they really believe that? Yes, they really believe that. They really do. So when you're having those water cooler conversations, and I'm telling you, know the why. If you know the why, if you know the history, if you know the politics, and you know their religious background on this, you've got an entirely different view. It's a whole lot bigger than just, well, Israel started shooting and Iran started shooting, and I don't know why we're in the middle of it. Well, by God, wake up and see the whole picture. Know the why. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all are talking about this show goes like, Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to the loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now call once again Fort Benning. Benning! I was there this weekend. Benning! And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's a ton of y'all that tune in daily and live stream the show on places like YouTube and our website, rightsidemedia.org, X, Rumble, Facebook, all of it. We appreciate you. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, love y'all too. Thank you so much, all of you, for making this audience what it is, or make the show what it is. You're an amazing audience. I got a couple more pieces of this Know the Why, and I'm going to wrap this up. All right, so when you are sitting, you know, when you're sitting around with your friends and they're like, I don't know, man, what do you think about this? I mean, why are we doing this? What happened? Why did they get to this point? How did we get here? Okay, I gave you the history. I gave you the theology. And I gave you the politics. Now look at this. Now let's look at crazy efforts by the Democrats in U.S. foreign policy. Did I just go there? Yes, I did. Let's start with Hillary Clinton. Oh, Lord, Phil, are you going to talk about Hillary Clinton? I am. So I won't go into all the details. Some of y'all remember this better than I will, I'm sure. But there's a scandal that never, in my opinion, got fully resolved. And I don't know why. But Uranium One is the name of a company. That's the company, Uranium One. Uranium One was a company that mined uranium. And there are certain things that when they reach the level of international business, the State Department has to approve them. You know, things like, you remember the Keystone Pipeline going across Canadian lines and the ability for oil to be transferred, you know, all the way down to our Gulf ports. The reason why they got held up so long is because Hillary Clinton, being Secretary of State, jammed it up. So there are things that are required to be approved by the State Department. Now, the administration technically weighs in, but the stamp, if you will, on the piece of paper has to come from the State Department. Then there's Uranium One. Uranium One in 2013, oh boy, think back, 12 years ago. 12 years ago, the company of Uranium One, I got a piece here from the Federalist that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Russia's state uranium monopoly called Rosatom, that's the Russian company, tried to purchase a Canadian mining company called Uranium One. Uranium One owns a controlling interest in other global uranium companies, And the end result of this is it would have an impact on uranium stores that are mined for the United States. This made no sense. Why are we allowing Russia to buy up what is technically something that is very sensitive and to the U.S. interest? Well, there's a whole lot of like hundreds of millions of dollars that flooded into the Hillary and Bill Clinton Foundation soon thereafter from Russian companies, too, by the way. Lots of reasons to believe there's a little pay for play. But the bottom line is Uranium One was sold. Russia got 20% of the company, and then a whole bunch of what's known as yellowcake disappeared. It is strongly believed that yellowcake, which is supposed to be tightly controlled, that yellowcake somehow made its way into Canada without an export license attached to it, and then, oh, by the way, disappeared from there. Some believe that Iran got its kickoff for its nuclear ambitions using uranium and yellowcake that came from the sale to Rosatom of Uranium One. Hillary Clinton, thank you very much. Then why don't we just talk about Obama? Oh, we're doing the whole rogues gallery today. Yes, we are. Piece here from September of 2016. So that was 2013. Now we're at 2016. The Obama administration acknowledged that it transferred $1.7 billion in cash. Remember this? Pallets of cash. The Obama administration so badly wanted to say that they had entered into a nuclear agreement with Tehran. Well, how did that work out? Not too well. So an initial pallet of cash. I mean, we're talking about American bucks stacked up. Have you ever seen pallets of cash? It's like something out of a movie. But pallets of cash were delivered to Tehran. $400 million to try and get back four American prisoners. Oh, that's right. Iran was holding Americans prisoner. And they sold them back to us. And the Obama administration agreed to pay a healthy ransom of $400 million in the first tranche, and then settled out in full by sending pallets that totaled $1.7 billion. Oh, by the way, that was something that the Obama administration admitted. I'm not making it up. There's no conspiracy theory. It happened. So now you have the Uranium One scandal with Hillary Clinton, followed by the $1.7 billion scandal under Obama. And then you get to Biden. Oh, boy. The Biden administration has to be one of the biggest debacles to ever hit the world of politics. But the Biden administration, October of 2023. This would be, oh, by the way, just months after the story I told you about earlier, where the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, said that death to America is their policy. The Biden administration, in an effort to try and recoup the failed nuclear agreement that Obama had put in place, agreed to unfreeze $6 billion of frozen Iranian assets in order to get six American citizens out of Iranian custody. Hang on. Six American citizens are still being held? Yes, they were holding more prisoners. Americans. And oh, by the way, Biden was willing to pay $1 billion each. He basically gave them what they needed to fund their nuclear program. He basically gave them what they needed to either fund terrorism, fund their nuclear program, or just build another palace for the Ayatollah. I don't know. But the result is money's fungible. $6 billion. Between Obama and Biden, $7.7 billion handed to them. On top of that, you had the Uranium One scandal. Listen, Democrats have been making an absolute debacle of dealing with Iran for a long time. Got a few text messages, and I go to the break. Matt from Athens says, hey, thank you so much for being right and simply for saying nuclear instead of nuclear. I am proud to serve, and I'm glad that my diction is appropriate. Thank you, Matt. Bill from North Alabama says, yes, Iranian EFP has killed friends of mine. He said, Arsaf also killed Iranians. That's Army Special Operations Forces. Also killed Iranians fighting us in Afghanistan. Bill from North Alabama. Thanks for your service, man. Appreciate you. I got a brand new texter Tell us where you're from and what your name is. Iran would make a great parking lot. Okay, that's... Listen, I think we're about done there. I don't think Iran's going to do much more militarily. In fact, it's not in their interest. They can't... There's nothing they can do with the exception of terror. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Morgan B. checking in from South Georgia. Morgan B. says, what's the deal with the Crown Prince addressing the people and essentially saying the Iranian people have been held hostage by the regime? Real question, what's his role? Why haven't they sought help for freedom from his this regime yet? Okay, so Morgan B., you're talking about Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi. He is the exiled son of the Shah who was deposed in 1979. And I believe he's living in the United States. I'm not positive. But when he says the Crown Prince, he's in exile. He's not in their country right now. He is like a government in exile, hoping to be a part of the solution if they can ever get rid of the Ayatollahs. No guarantee that he will. The people of Iran need to choose that. Do they want a royal family, or do they want some other means of governance? I don't know. I hope it's their choice. But the reality is, the Crown Prince addressing the people, he's telling them, basically, rise up. Now's the time. He, by the way, has said that his inside sources are telling him that the Ayatollah's control is shakier than it's ever been. And he does point out the Iranian people have been held hostage by the regime for years. So there's Morgan B. I hope I explained it to you. But yes, there is indeed a government in waiting. It's a government in exile. And the Crown Prince, Reza Pahlavi, is the son, I believe, of the deposed Shah of Iran. That new texter, by the way, is Michael from Elgin. Glad you're there. And then Chef Ben checking in. Chef Ben from Aniana. Say, guys, great show. Did you hear about Trump's new golf course he's building in Iran? He's already got the first three holes. Oh, my gosh. There it is. First sound effect of the day. All right, tell you what, take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.